You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast, episode 280. And we have gathered three of the best grooms in the business once again for top grooms and top tips. They will be answering your questions. So I will welcome them back to the show once again, Alex Van Tool, Emma Ford, and Max Corcoran. I will start with you, Max. How is life with you? It's been a while since we've had you on the show.
I know. It's been busy. I can't believe it's already the middle of March and January, February, and it's gone so quickly. And you know, Kentucky's not far away, and but yes, everything's great. Just cruising along, trying to get from one week to the next, one day to the next.
I feel your pain. I do feel
something like that.
Yeah, I do feel a little bit like we blinked and all of a sudden we lost a couple of months, which I guess it brings us closer to the eventing season being in full swing and lots of exciting things hopefully this summer. But yes, it has been fairly manic. Emma, how is life with you?
Yeah, pretty much the same as Max. Just trying to cruise along. We've already started competing, so we're busy here. We're back in Pennsylvania. We were in Florida for 2 months and now we're back up in Pennsylvania and getting everything ready for hopefully Kentucky. I will say I think we've all been pretty blessed over here with the being able to keep doing our jobs and stay outside a lot with the pandemic. So looking forward to what the next few months brings us.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you in Carolina this weekend? So it would be a week or so ago when this show goes out.
Yes, we were. We had a very, very good weekend. So the ponies were really good and very exciting to see them go and step it up a bit. So we will see what the next two of Phillip's Kentucky horses run next weekend in Aiken at a 4-star short. So and then it's full steam ahead.
Exciting. How many of Philip Dutton, how many of his horses are planning to go to Kentucky in a few weeks?
So we've got three currently entered, but one will be doing, Carlton will be doing the 4 short, and Fernhill Singapore will be doing his first 5-star, and we're not sure yet which one he'll run, but touch wood, he'll definitely be in one of them. He just hasn't decided what route to take yet that's best for him.
Okay, cool. Exciting times. Yes. Finally, Alex, I will come to you. You are in the UK, same as me, enjoying hopefully a little bit of spring-like weather.
Yes, and watching our first event with some results on Horse and Country TV, which is exciting to see some action here in the UK today.
There look to be some very fresh ponies.
Some very fresh, but we've been off the road for a while. The lucky Emma and crew have been out and about doing a bit. Luckily for them, we haven't been quite so fortunate yet over here, have we?
No, absolutely. But it's good that it is finally starting. So we listeners have got an elite level event running. So for elite riders only under the government guidelines this week, and then hopefully things will start to pick up again when we go into April. And I know that there are a few UK-based riders hopefully planning to make the trip out to Kentucky. Now, we were talking before we started recording. I was like, how many years experience have you guys got collectively? And we agreed that we would just say many because, you know, it is a lot of top-level grooming experience. You guys have seen pretty much everything there is to see. And so we're going to put our listeners' questions to you. Okay, here we go. I have got one here. Tips for grooming sensitive skinned horses like thoroughbreds. Who would like to grab that one and run with it? Emma? Philip loves a thoroughbred.
Philip does love his thoroughbred. Yes. I always encourage my people that help me, like when they're with a thoroughbred, to really take note of what works for them. Like, don't just pick up your regular curry comb and, you know, have at it when grooming them. I think I have a variety of tools at the barn, from different curry combs to, you know, rubber, to harder rubber, to scrubs, that, you know, and every horse likes his own little tool, you know. So for me, it's all about letting the horse tell you how he, what he particularly likes on his body. And the one thing I do use a lot is called over here it's called the posture prep groomer, and you use it, it's sort of a cross fiber groomer, so you move the skin across the fibers, and I find that it helps sort of loosen up the skin, because, you know, especially when they come straight off the track, the horses are so tight. You want to really loosen the skin up so they enjoy the groom rather than just, you know, rubbing too hard on them. So that's definitely my favorite tool, but it starts off and just go from there.
Build up. That's actually a good point, actually. So I guess there's kind of two bits there. One, in the fact that what do they enjoy being groomed with? And two, then what has nice, effective results for that horse's coat? Is that fair to say?
Yes, that's absolutely, yes.
Okay, cool. Alex, anything from you on the sensitive thoroughbred skin?
Yeah, sometimes this sounds a bit weird, but like a little bit of finger grooming, like massaging with your fingers and brushing them at the same time, just initially to get them used to the whole kind of process. Alternatives of a soft cloth.
Okay.
I find that works well. They just have to get used to it. It's just the whole process involved that they just... It needs to be soft, and you just need to use a light technique.
Enjoyable. And are either of you big fans of hot cloths?
Yes, avid hot cloth in the winter.
Okay. Absolutely. What does a hot cloth do, Max?
Well, it's just sort of a nice, it can loosen everything up because it's hot. It sort of just, it can sort of clean them. You know, a lot of times you can groom them and then hot cloth them and then brush them, or you can do it after or whatever, but because it's warm and it's just not as abrasive as a brush, but it's still, you're sort of getting the same result, but you're also a whole bunch of good things. You know, in little places where you maybe the brushes can't get to, you can sort of get in there with a rag and sort of wash stuff off and little spots, and especially great for faces and eyes and nose. And other nostrils. I think people forget to clean that part of it off, and under their, you know, in their jaw bones and stuff. And those are just places that you can get a lot easier with a hot towel. But it just, you know, cleans them. Maybe pull some oils out, helps with that too.
Okay, cool. So it's literally just a hot cloth, a cloth in warm water. That's essentially what it is. So anybody could have access to that very easily in their yard.
Can I add something to that?
Yeah, absolutely, Emma.
I actually, I'm sure Alex probably does. I don't know, Alex, you might do this too, but I'll add an oil to the water to specific. Like, Shapley's do a number one light oil or a number two heavy oil, and you just add a dollop. And I really find for especially the clipped horses in the winter when their coats are super dry, you know, clipping tends to dry out their coats. If you add the oil to the winter, it sort of lifts the dirt, but the steam opens up the pores to get the oil, you know, sort of soak, moisturize into their skin. So you add moisture back to the skin. So I'm a big fan of hot clothing. I think it's a really good source to have. If you add the oil, or you can even add, like, sometimes I'll add a bit of vinegar if they're super dirty to, you know, I'll mix the two, add the vinegar and the hot oil.
Okay, cool. Just any kind of vinegar?
I just use white distilled vinegar. I might use salt vinegar, one or two.
Okay, cool.
Probably the spa... malt vinegar.
You keep that. No.
Yep.
Not malt vinegar, fair enough. Your horse's spa sounds ideal. I feel like I could quite do with that in my life, to be honest. Okay, let's go to the next question. It kind of, I guess, ties in with that one, but I'm just going to add it in. It's from Madrug Adam Megan. That's a really long Instagram handle. I'm really sorry if I got that quite wrong. But how do you treat horses with perma-terrible skin that already have an A-plus diet? So is there anything else that horses maybe have awkward skin conditions or just really sensitive skin on top of obviously just, you know, sensitive skinned horses? Is there anything else, any supplements that you found, any sort of top tips with light, anything that you like? So Emma, I'll come to you first.
Beyond, I always say to people, like, I think you've got to give things. I sort of give, if I pick a product, if I have a horse that has, you know, problem skin, if I give a product 3 to 4 days and there's no change, then change the product. Like, don't keep using it. So I might start with maybe, I might just start with apple cider vinegar to calm the skin. And but if that's no effect, then I might try something like Chaplee's MTG, or I might then go to some sort of shampoo. You know, I just don't keep, through the clinics we do, people will be like, well, I use this all the time. It's like, well, does it change something? And they're like, well, it doesn't always have a good effect. I'm like, well, maybe you need to change it up a bit.
Yeah.
You know, so don't be afraid to try out different products. And sometimes, you know, just, I don't know if it's over in the UK, but we have this product called Coat Defense, and it's in a talc.
Yeah, that stuff's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if it's in the UK yet, but.
I've never heard of it.
Alex is going to be like taking notes.
They do a paste and a powder.
Yeah. And the paste is really good for, like, if your horse is sensitive to, say, fly bites or something, you can put it on top of a fly bite and it just really draws out the inflammation. Yeah. And then the powder, I don't know what you use it for, Max, but I just use it if they sort of break out a bit and you just want to, add it in to help take out.
You can, like, put it on before you put your rugs on. You can just powder their backs or wherever they might have. We had the Florida this year had really, really wicked hives this year. So you could just literally stick it straight on them or under their boots or whatever if they're getting ridden or if they got hives on their back, put some powder on them, put the saddle pad on. It sort of seems to work. And they've done all the approvals. We'll send some home with the Brits for you, Alex.
Yeah, send some over, please.
Yes, I was going to say, there's a trunk coming back from Kentucky now. Yeah. What was it called again, Emma? What was the name?
It's called Coat Defense.
Coat Defense. Okay, there we go, listeners. That's a top tip for you. Right, let's see what else we have got. Do you ever use a fake tail? How often? I sort of looked twice at this one. Who is a fake tail fan? Max, are you a fake tail fan?
I am a fake tail fan. I think for the right horse, I think it looks really good. You stop over there. Sometimes horses just don't grow a tail. I don't know if they're legal though. I don't know if you're supposed to like promote the fact, because I don't think you're supposed to be. I think there's some weird FEI rule. I don't know. But I think it can for sure change the horse's look down the center line. I think it really does help.
Okay. Alrighty.
I completely agree. Nicole, I do completely agree. It makes a much better picture. But my worst nightmare is your horse at a dressage show or an adventure show trots down the centre line and the tail descends lower and lower and lower. I literally want to die into a hole somewhere.
It would
be fairly. If you're going to use it, find someone really good to teach you how to use it and make sure you use it before you go to the show, because it can kind of spook the horses a bit, because suddenly they've got 3 times the tail that they normally have. So they go to switch a fly and they're like, what was that? So practice it. Yeah.
That's a fair point.
But I will say some horses do get better marks with them, because I think when they're trotting and just the swing of their tail, it just sort of makes a nicer picture. I don't know why, but I've had horses that have done the exact same test in 2 different places and scored better with a fake tail. So whatever.
There we go. All right, see, that's good to know. Okay, two now. We'll go from tails onto manes. Kate Hay would like to know, how do you do the perfect plaits with a thick mane? But she has said using rubber bands instead of sewing. So is anybody, Alex, I'm presuming that you sew your plaits in, but any advice for bands and a very thick mane?
I am definitely, Nicole, a thread plaiter or a braider, as the US like to say. Bands, they're great for training, but the problem is they make the mane weak and it then starts to snap, so you get little short bits everywhere.
Okay.
because it's like you putting like a rubber band in your hair, that makes that area weak and it starts to snap after time. So as a one-off, it's okay, but to do it week in, week out, you make the main follicles very weak.
Well, she would be fixing her thick mane, but probably not in the most appropriate way. Okay, so if in that case then, if somebody is looking to start braiding with thread instead of bands, Max, how do they start? Because I think it could probably be a bit intimidating to somebody that hasn't done it before.
I think one of the easiest ways to start doing it is to braid it down and then rubber band the bottom, and then you can figure out, and then you roll the braid and do your sewing. And that might be a really good way to start doing it because it's just less intimidating that way. But a lot of it, you got to, I think just ask someone to teach you how to do it. But I think the wax thread is really great because you can tame all the fuzzies and it stays better and it's stronger. But I think like maybe one of the best things for this person would be to thin the horse's mane. And then it might be easier to braid with rubber bands. I think we
okay.
go to the problem and then
fix the root of the problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. In that case then, what would be your favorite way of thinning a horse's mane? Because it's gonna be the total opposite of my next question. How would you be best to do that so as you're keeping the quality of the mane?
Yeah. I think one of the best ways that I've, picked up from my friend Sally Robertson, who looks after Laura Nicholson's horses, you get your rubber glove on and then you sort of sweep under the horse's neck and grab the mane sort of with your fingers, making a fist almost facing at you as you just keep going, and you just keep pulling bits of mane out, and it keeps the length still without shortening, like not pulling it, but you're thinning it, and you could just keep doing that, do that a little bit every day. And even horses that hate to get their manes pulled, it seems to work really well.
Okay, that's a very good tip. And do you do it after exercise so they're warm? Is that a tip?
You can. It depends on. I don't know if that actually works. I don't know. I think horses hate it. If they hate it before work, they hate it as much after work. I don't know.
It's an old wives' tale. Okay, then. In that case, Emma, I'll come to you with my next question. Gary Monahan says, how do you get your horse's mane to come back after the winter rug rubbing season?
Patience. Gosh, my favorite go-to would be I use the MTG for the mane tail grow. I just put some chappies, I just put like a very small amount, rub it in that area probably three times a week. But it's patience, and when it comes back, and it comes back very thin, like normally it'll come back very thin, if it gets to that, I'll actually razor it a little shorter so that it has less like chance to break off.
Okay.
But it's a tricky one because obviously you want to be braiding it as well, but I tend to maybe not braid it for horse trials, but then I will braid it for FER, so I give it every chance not to get pulled out or broken.
Don't put it under too much stress. Would you ever use, we've spoken fake tails, would you ever use fake plaits?
I wouldn't know, have a clue how to put a fake plait in. But because I braid with yarn, I create the braid with yarn, so I add extra yarn to the hair I do have. It's hard to explain. But basically, I'll braid the yarn in at the very top, and then just basically the braid ends up being yarn rather than hair.
Okay.
So that's how I create a braid in a non, where I don't have too much hair left.
Okay, that's good advice. Any other braiding, plaiting techniques or tips that you can't live without before we move on to the next question?
I would ask, whoever asked about braiding with bands with a thick mane, if that's your only option, for some reason maybe you have to keep the thick mane if it's a breed horse or something, one, don't let the mane get too short. It's easier to braid a thick mane longer, but then you just have to put in a lot of braids. Don't take too much mane for one braid.
Okay.
You might end up with 30 braids or plaits down the mane, but you have to just take less hair. But definitely let the mane be longer than shorter.
Okay, that's good advice. Right, let's go on now. Nicola James has asked top stud tips. So how do you make sure that you get your competition day and your studs go in, no problem? There's no hopping about trying to clean out pesky stone or anything like that. What would be your go-to advice? Alex, I'll come to you first on this one.
I always clean mine out the day before a show. I plug them with a little bit of cotton wool with Vaseline or hoof oil on so that they're easy to pull out with a little screwdriver or nail. And when I clean them out, I always tap them to make sure that the thread is straight and not cross-thread it. So make sure you hit it at the correct 90-degree angle.
Okay, cool. So cross-threading is when basically the threads in the stud get mixed up and therefore the stud doesn't sit in correctly. Okay, well, what do you pack them with 90% of the time, Alex, before, like in between competitions when they're at home?
When I finish the show, after they've run, I put cotton wool and Vaseline back into the plug, into the hole. And even when the farrier's been through them, before they take a footstep off the farrier block, I plug them again. So hopefully there's no dirt or mud getting in, particularly stones. So I make sure I put plenty of cotton wool and pack it down.
Okay, cool. Max, anything from you on studs?
I think just like having the right equipment and just being familiar with it. Making sure you've got the little metal tray and you've got your wrench that you can use and all that kind of stuff. And just like Alex said, like make sure you get them plugged in, and that way you're not, I mean, everybody tells the story of getting to the show and one of your stud holes isn't even tapped. It's there, but there's no threads to them, or getting the rock that's been stuck in there and you can't get it out and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I would just say to make sure you have all your equipment and keep your studs clean too when they're done being used. Make sure you clean them so you're not trying to put dirty, nasty studs back in clean holes, because that doesn't work so well either, because they're expensive too, eh?
Yeah, no, that is great advice. Okay, next question is, now this one I know we spoke about actually quite a lot on the last Top Tips, Top Grooms show that we did, but I'm going to ask it again because it loads of people always ask this question. So keeping grey horses white, making them sparkly white, getting rid of stains, how do you do it? Tails, legs, et cetera, et cetera. We'll start with, I guess, the first top tip, Alex, from you in terms of keeping your grey horses sparkly clean and making life as easy for you as possible.
So when they're dirty, I clean them, particularly if they have a stable stain. I don't let it sit there when I'm training at home. Grey horses are supposed to be grey. They're not supposed to be skewbald. I know if you're short on time, but it saves time in the long run. Blue shampoo over here, a NAS product, White and Bright, all those things really help, but you need to do it on a regular basis with warm water.
Okay, so don't let it build up.
No, definitely not. My worst nightmare would be to leave it there for 3 days.
Okay, so if you park up at an event next to Alex and you haven't got a sparkly clean horse, then you will make her very nervous. Emma, how about you?
I'm pretty sure I said this last time, but again, exactly what Alex says, you've got to stay on top of it. And then making sure your horse doesn't have a real dry coat or a dry mane and tail. Condition, moisturize them so that the hair isn't dry and therefore soaks up more stain is one way. And then I like to apply magic sheen after I've washed the horse. Like if they've got white socks and on their, you know, their tails and that, I'll apply the magic sheen because that will then help repel the dirt and any stains from, you know, being taken up even stronger.
Okay, perfect. Max, finally, anything to add from you?
Well, everything that these guys have said, but I also think sometimes that if you keep them body clipped, you know, they may get clipped one more time than the others, but it just doesn't, then there's not as much there for the stain to soak into, and you can clean them quicker because it's just not as much to be stained, I guess, is what it is.
Okay. Yeah.
That can definitely help keep them cleaner. And then just keeping them covered too, if they're going to go out in the field, to make sure they've got a rug or a fly sheet or something on, that always does help as well. Cause then there's a lot of those sort of dust bustery things and all that kind of stuff that does also help buffer a little bit from the manure to get stuck to them. But then, or if you're in some place like Virginia or Pennsylvania where you get a little bit of red clay, that's always really fun to get out. So, and then consistency, you know, just wash them off and make sure you keep them, they stay steady clean all the time.
Yeah. Okay. So don't leave it. That is the overriding message there. Keep on top of it. Okay. Let's see what else we have got. Quarter marks. So favorite tips, your favorite quarter mark. Let's go favorite tips to make sure that they are as impressive as possible. Emma, is that something that you really enjoy? Are you a big fan of a quarter mark?
I do quarter marks. I am not a very creative person. So I have my, I call them racing stripes, or I'll do a V. I do like, people are very creative with their stencils and, you know, they'll do their farm logo and that, but that certainly isn't me. but at the same time, I have seen a trend to sort of put almost too much pattern there. And I think sometimes that looks a little, I'm not sure what the word is, but too much.
Tacky.
But quarter marks is all about the brush. If you don't have the right brush, you're screwed.
Okay, it's all about the brush. Tacky. I love that, Max. Okay, what kind of brush do you need?
Everyone has their own favorite brush, don't they?
Oh, yeah, you've got to have, it's got to be like a round brush, and it's got to be short bristled, and it's got to be really stiff.
And you find
the right one, and you get really excited about it, and no one's allowed to borrow it out of your presence, because they're sometimes really hard to find again.
Okay, I was going to say, does that only get used for quarter marks then? It doesn't get used for anything else? That is
pretty much, it's your quarter mark brush. Yeah,
okay.
It's your quarter mark brush. Yeah, but you got to have like a slick horse, and you got to have like your horse. The shinier and sleeker your coat is, the better they turn up and the better they look.
Okay, cool. Alex, anything from you?
No, it's all about the brush. It really is all about the brush and having a clean horse to put, as Emma calls them, the racing stripes on.
Okay, perfect. There you go. Quarter marks for you. That one came in from Kate Hay again.
And you got to practice your quarter marks at home too. Like, do them at home while you're grooming and practice them there too, because then you always do one side, then you go to do the other and it never comes out, and then you got to go back and you do it again. So just practice them at home. It's the best way to be comfortable doing them.
Okay.
But Max, would you not also agree that some shapes suit some horses and not others? So you need to work out what looks best on your horse.
Yeah. Like, there's some horses that have these giant bums, and you can, you know, or just maybe a very weak bum, and you don't want to put a lot on it. You maybe just do two of the shark's teeth, whereas a horse with the larger rump, you can do more on it or whatever. And so, yeah, by doing it at home, you can sort of be like, meh, maybe, maybe not. That, yeah, I would agree. And then if you have a horse with a funny hind end, some horses just have a bit of hitch in their giddy up, and you don't want to attract attention to that area when they're doing their dressage test. So maybe be a little more subtle.
Okay, that is good advice. All righty, here's one in for you. You guys have groomed at some of the biggest and best events in the world, and Hanbam92 would like to know, at Things to Know, handy hints for grooming at your first 5-star, any difference from stepping up from a 4-star 3-day event? Emma, I'll come to you first.
If you've been with your horse for a long time, I don't think you should really change stepping up 4-star to 5-star. Like, whatever's worked for you in the past is, you know, needs to work for yours. I would say, you know, the biggest thing, you don't want to change anything for your horse, right? Because you know the plan, and if it's worked, then stick to it. So don't stress yourself out about feeling that you've got to change it, because all of a sudden you're doing a bigger level. But I just think knowing your horse in that respect, and, you know, do they like to be left alone for a bit, or do they need to get out of their stalls more? You know, I can always remember when Lauren Kiefer took Snooze Alarm to Kentucky, and Nat was groomed. Lauren was worried about the horse was out 24/7, and Nat literally had that hand grazing when it wasn't being ridden all the time. All the time. It worked for that horse, you know. But I got a couple that you just don't want to, they just want to be left alone in between their riding, and they just go out a couple of times a day to hand graze. So it's just all, whatever works best for your horse, that's what you have to figure into it.
That makes sense. And I guess, Max, that goes through all the levels, that if you, you know, as you know your horse, when you're even competing at a one-day event, like, you can figure out what works for your horse and what they like and what they don't like.
Yeah, absolutely. And like Emma said, you just, sometimes the biggest, your biggest problem between your four and your five star is your rider, and they want to change things and make things all crazy and, oh my God, here we are. And, but they just, like Emma said, the routine for those horses and what they've always done is critical, because a lot of people like to try new things, you know, right up to the, you know, as you get there, and, oh, this sounds like a good idea, we should try this, but keeping it simple, keeping it the same, keeping it to what they know, because it is, you end up, by the time you get to the five star, the horses sometimes have trotted up 7,000 times, and everybody's poking and prodding, and the barns are busy because there's people there to come and say hello and do all that kind of stuff. But I think trying to, you know, depending on which horse it is, to try to keep it as quiet as possible and have it, let there be their space at the same time.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Don't change things at the big event. Make sure you've planned it in advance. Like all of you practicing at home, it all makes the day much easier. Right, I'm going to do one more question, but before we go to my last question, I'm just going to put it out there now so you can think about your answers. In a minute, I'm going to come to you for your pet hate, but also your top tip or your favorite product. So one or the other, it can be anything you like, but something that you think, do you know what, you need this in your life. So I will come to my question first, and that is from Horse Pictures for Mum. It says, stable bandaging / wrapping, how not to, naughty word inserted here, it up. So basically, how can you make it as good as possible? What's the best technique? Emma, I'll ask you first.
I like this person. honestly, wrapping is about practice. Again, something difficult to show over a phone conversation. But I, over here, anyone that's new to it, I always encourage them to use pillow wraps. And we have what we call flannels over here. They're not very stretchy. So that you reduce the risk of blowing a horse either in front or behind. That's if you're new to wrapping. But honestly, you've got to practice. Like, don't just, you know, think that, oh, right, I've got to wrap my horse today, so I'm going to do it. You know, you've got to understand keeping tension even. What pressure can you put on the horse or on the leg? So really, you know, you definitely absolutely have to have someone showing you. And then even if you just wrap one leg every day to get into practice, that's what you need to be doing.
Okay, that's fair. Alex, how about you?
Well, like Emma says, it's all about practice. And if you haven't got someone to watch over you, you will get a general feel, but you need to keep good, even tension down the bandage, and don't, better too loose than too tight. But if I have to give any advice over a call, it would be better too loose than too tight.
Okay, fair enough. And in what situations should you be looking to bandage and wrap? Like, when would you be doing this? So if anybody's thinking, well, do you know what actually, how do I do this, and why am I doing this? Max, what would you say to that?
I think we, in general, a lot of people do over bandage, and then sometimes we need to see what our horse's legs look like after they compete. But, you know, as you go up the levels and you know that, you know, hopefully you know what your horse's legs look like. But after, like, strenuous competition, strenuous exercise, if you're trying to keep medication on their leg, you know, it's got a cut or something and you need to wrap it, As the upper level horses, they will get wrapped usually after they have a show jumping school or a cross country school or a gallop, after cross country, that type of thing when it's stretched. Or if you have, if you're lucky enough to have a lower level horse that used to be an upper level horse, that maybe he's got some chronic fetlocks or chronic leg or something that you just are trying to help manage too, is always good. But I think also too, we need to make sure that we need to see what, we don't want to just take them out of ice, dry their legs and put their, you put the wraps on, but you also need to know what it looks like. So sometimes it's worth taking it off and checking it, if that makes sense. The other thing I'll say too, when you're learning how to wrap, is make sure your wraps are rolled well, because if you've got a really loosely wrapped roll or like rolled wrap, it's really hard to, the dexterity is really hard to make it tight or make it to the right, because it can't fit in your hand and it's all wobbly and loose. So if you have it rolled real tight before you put it on, it's a lot easier to manage to put it on their leg.
Okay, that's a brilliant tip. Right. Perfect. We've had loads of questions in. I'm really sorry if we haven't made it through your question, but we will get these guys back later on in the year, I am sure. Let's go for now pet hate. So something that really bugs you, or you think, oh, just, do this or don't do that. Alex, I know yours is clean those stable stains off straight away. Is there anything else or is that it?
I think I've got OCD in cleanliness. My big thing is when you bring your horse out of stall, pick its feet out. There's nothing more irritating than someone who swept the barn and then they come out with shavings, which then brings me on to the bit, my most favourite product is my little witchy broom to sweep your barn with.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Like a broomstick sort of
brush.
Like
a little witch's broom.
Like Harry Potter.
Broom. Yeah,
amazing.
Not like Harry Potter. Like a corn broom, ladies.
Okay, they are two good bits of advice. They go hand in hand. Emma, how about you?
Well, I've got multiple, but leaving that leg strap not done after when you take blankets off.
Ugh.
Just as a safety precaution is one of my many pet peeves.
Okay, so always when you've taken the blankets off, do all of the straps back up. Is that what you mean?
Well, the back leg straps.
The back leg straps.
Obviously, it depends what blankets you have. A lot don't have them now. They just have tail strings. But if they do have back leg straps, please, please do them back up.
Okay.
Before you take the blanket off the horse.
That's
product. Oh, God. There's too many to choose from. I'm going to say my Andes Pulse VR clippers that are cordless that I can clip multiple horses in a day. They're super lightweight and I absolutely love them.
Okay, that's a good product. Max, finally, last but not least, your pet peeve and your favourite top tip or product.
Pet peeve. I guess it's hard to just come up with one pet peeve. One thing that drives me crazy, well, there's a lot of things that drive me crazy, but one of the big ones, when people don't have their bridles fitting correctly, their nose bands and everything, and they're just sort of too low or crooked or bizarre, or, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing because they don't fit them correctly, or any kind of tack, actually, that's not fitted correctly.
Okay.
Makes me nuts, because I think it's also a safety thing at the same time. And one product that I love Witch Hazel. That's one of my favorites because it's antibacterial, antifungal, so it's great for that type of thing. It's great for any kind of bumps or welts, or the other thing that I can spray it on a rag if you've got a horse that maybe just has a tiny bit of dust, just sort of gets that little bit of dust off of them before they go in the ring.
Okay, brilliant. That was brilliant. Thank you all very, very much. Lots and lots of good advice for people. And I think one thing that I would say is, do you know what? If you are unsure about anything, if you are you know, not sure whether you're doing something correctly, or you get to a show and you need some help, then I think it would be safe to say that, you know, ask, find somebody that might be able to help. You will never find anybody that isn't willing to give you a bit of help and a bit of guidance. Obviously pick an appropriate time to ask them, but I'm sure that they would be very happy to share their knowledge. And if you're not sure, then give you a nudge in the right direction. Max, Alex and Emma, thank you all very, very much for coming on the show again. And listeners, I hope that you have found something very useful to add to your repertoire coming into this season as we kick into full swing. It has been a pleasure to have these guys on the show, and we'll be back very soon with lots more on the USCA official podcast. I think we have a Kentucky special coming up next, so stay tuned for that. But for now, thank you very much for listening.
Thanks for listening to the USCA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.